You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
Counting down the days, Gerard.
Yep, it's birthday week for Coach Thorpe. And
oh, not even think about that. I was just thinking about the break.
Well, yeah. Because during the break, which you much needed, players go away for All-Star, do all that. So David's like, okay, you're on your own. I'll see you when you're back in town.
He's gonna it's a lot of games. I'm looking forward to having it. I was just telling you guys in our content call this morning, every Sunday morning, I kind of map out my week and all the things I have to do each day. And I'm happy, Toronto. I'm not complaining that I'm this age and still busy. But my calendar is very open after Wednesday.
Very nice.
I got nothing on the books.
Nothing on the books besides Vegas, U2, fun with family.
That's later. Yeah, that's later. Initially, I have some time just to decompress a little bit. Yeah.
David, last night was a Super Bowl. We're an NBA show, and we don't really talk a whole ton about the NFL here, which, you know, makes sense. But, you know, look, we're sports fans. My NFL fandom is not what it once was. I used to cover the league, actually. The Giants was a beat reporter.
Really?
For
what year was that?
That was right when I moved back from California. So that was 2017 to about 2017 to about 2019.
Okay.
And, you know, football's fine. Like, I don't enjoy it the way I once did. And for that reason, I don't watch it. I don't really watch it at all, actually. However.
How many players? So going into the game,
yeah,
I knew three players. Mm-hmm. I knew really two. Mm-hmm. And then I caught an article about the quarterback from San Francisco, mm-hmm. the headline. So I knew three players.
Yeah. Well,
now,
I knew more
once
than
the
that.
Game started,
I knew more.
Once the game started, I knew Christian McCaffrey. I knew his name. I had no idea he was on the Niners. I think he's always been on the Niners. I just
He was on the Panthers first. He was on the Panthers before the Niners.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Yeah. And I didn't know Kyle Shanahan was their coach. My son told me about how good their coach was, and I said, what's his name? He told me, and I said, oh, his dad, Mike, was the coach. He's like, correct. Oh, my God, he's the coach's son. He's like, that's tough. That's what he said. That's tough. Yeah. So you knew more than three guys.
Yeah. And, you know, and look, for me, sports now is so much about just when we witness greatness and just the level. And a cute quarterbacks of the show you watched on Netflix. And
I liked it.
You know how difficult the position is. And for me, you know, I've seen a lot of great quarterbacks over my time as a sports fan. Patrick Mahomes might be the best at quarterbacking I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's just outstanding. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to win seven Super Bowls, but that doesn't mean he's not the best, right? Like, I don't count rings as, because rings are a team award. That's not about one person. That's about everybody doing their job. But he is just incredible. And I said it on the call this morning, what was so great about it was the overtime. Knowing, all right, they scored a field goal. We have to get a touchdown to win or a field goal to extend it. We're going for the score. And just the way he was able to manipulate with the play calling from Andy Reid, go down the field and get exactly what they needed. And the Niners just couldn't stop him. Hey, got to give him his props. So props to Mahomes. And the Chiefs' third Super Bowl in five years?
Five.
I mean, he's incredible.
Yeah, I because I watched that show Quarterback, really just to learn myself a little bit more about how to work my own players and what's required to be great. I texted one of my young players who I think has got a real ability to be a starter on a championship team. He's a winning player. young guy. And I texted him after the game last night after hearing Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, the two guys I did know about before the game, hear them talk about, you know, wanting to get three-peat and all of that. And I texted my player and I said, I don't promise I'll be at any of your NBA Finals games. I'll be in touch with you. But I do promise after you win, I'll tell you to take 10 to 14 days off and then it's back to work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not going to go back there again. There's just no other way to do it. And he had a great response. But knowing what Mahomes did all season, this was a year ago when I saw quarterback this summer, I'm sure nothing was different. And I do happen to think that he's probably the best quarterback ever to play. He doesn't have the best career. Right. Lots of guys have better careers. Right. Not lots. A number of guys. Right. Montana mm-hmm. and Brady being right. the obvious choices.
Right.
But in terms of who was the best player,
correct.
Pretty, I mean, I get Brady. They're just so different. I think Mahomes could have done what Brady did in the Patriots system.
Oh, without question.
And I don't think Brady could have done what he did.
Especially not early in their careers, right? You're going to remember those first two Super Bowls that the Patriots won. That wasn't about Brady being the elite quarterback we know now. Right. Like defense. That was defense, like, and, you know, yeah. ball control, running the game, all that. Like Mahomes from day one was slinging that thing all over the field yeah.
and great feet, great mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. I really love, and this is why I wanted to talk about it. He had an interception early mm-hmm. and he hadn't had one, I think, in the
like
whole
six or seven season. Games. Yeah. Whole postseason. Yeah.
Yeah. Or before in the longer than that. And I just love how he responded. It's such a big, big deal in our sport is dealing with failure, just like a baseball player's got to deal with strikeouts and whatever, and just outs. You just can't let it impact your confidence. That's what practice is for. Mm-hmm. Stick with what you're good at. And I also wanted to talk about it because I've been going to the NFL games long enough where I remember when Andy Reid was not considered a good mm-hmm. coach because he couldn't win the big one. Mm-hmm. I just always thought that was so dumb. The guy wins so often. I had no idea what their management team was like and their ownership with the team. I don't know where he was before. Maybe the Eagles.
Eagles.
I don't mm-hmm. remember where he was. Eagles. Okay. I just knew that dude was winning a lot of games and maybe losing the playoffs, but he got him there. That's a good year. Mm-hmm. And now it's like I heard Travis Kelce say after the game, you know, he was criticized for bumping Reed. Right. Mm-hmm. And maybe, I mean, I understand why. I don't think he meant to bump him. But I also know we don't know that relationship. It seems like those two guys do just fine with each other. And after the game, Travis Kelce said he's the best leader of men there is. And he made me everything I am as a pro. And so just how quickly things can turn. Kevin Garnett wasn't a winner until he was. And mm-hmm. Dirk and then mm-hmm. they called Magic Tragic Johnson
right. Correct.
After his first championship when Kareem was mm-hmm. their best player. Magic was the MVP because that last game, but Kareem was their best player all year. And then, of course, we know he won four more. I think that... there's a lot to be said for it. And I also, you know, I made a comment to you guys this morning about how I really enjoyed Romo because I don't care about the emotional stuff in
right,
a game.
Right.
I you know, we joke all the time. Henry used to always joke about you, you know, being more emotional than you let on all of that. But when it comes to these things, I just am a scientist.
Right.
Right. I want to learn as much as I can. But so I was really able to follow the game with what he was teaching us. And of course, what do you think? A critic found something to criticize.
Yep, that's it.
It didn't ring true to me at all with him talking over Jim Nantz, whatever. I just want to be informed. I don't need anything else.
Right.
And I know how to focus on the moment, whether they're talking or not.
Correct.
Like, people make a big deal of that.
Right.
I whatever. I listen to Al Michaels call the
Lake Placid
the semifinal game, not the finals. Correct. The semifinal game. We beat Finland in the finals to beat Russia. He wasn't just dead silent. Mm-hmm. And that was the most momentous sporting event to my life to that point, probably even since. It was such a monumental upset. So anyway, I know this. I'll be talking to my NBA players the next couple of days about how hard it is to win in professional sports. There's no other way, but what joy there is when you win. Every game is fun. And winning the whole thing at the end, unimaginable. Like I just am jealous and I can't ever feel that. But it is what it is.
You are the best, right? When it is the last game of the season in whatever your sport is, that means you are the best. If you won, you're everything. You won the last game. You are the best. And that's what all these players work their careers and their lives for, right? And what we know, David, the majority of them will never sniff right that because that's just not how this works, right? We got too many good people. There's only one winner at the end of every year. That's just how it is. So you got to savor it. And in many sports, I mean, less so in football because of the randomness, but in basketball, our league has been built off dynasties, right? It's the majority of championships have been won by a handful of teams, right? That's generally how it works. And Mahomes and the Chiefs seem to be in a little bit of a dynastic run themselves right now.
Yeah, there's who Patriots, mm-hmm. Niners back in the day, yeah. Steelers really Cowboys. When I was young, yeah. mm-hmm. Cowboys that with Emmitt Smith mm-hmm. and Troy and Mike and Michael. Yeah, that's but there's not a lot. What they're doing is very special. And again, if you see that show and you see what Mahomes puts in mentally, physically, emotionally, I felt the same way watching the HBO version, mm-hmm. HBO Max version with the Dolphins. It's just hard, man. The NBA is no different. There's more games, mm-hmm. less violent, but violent. Mm-hmm. And try guarding Steph Curry.
Yeah,
try guarding Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. Try guarding James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Jokic, Embiid. Mm-hmm. These are and it's embarrassing, you know, when you guys kicked by those guys. But you got to do it. You can't not fight.
Right.
I love the guys that are willing to fight and fail. I really do. At every sport, I liked in the Niners game. If you're in the game last night, there was a punt, and it looked like the receiver stupidly went after the ball after it hit the ground, mm-hmm. ended up being a fumble. I think the Chiefs got a field goal out of it. But this in a Romo talk and then the replay, it was touched by a teammate. He made a heroic play, the guy did to try to – I mean, he gave it all in. But early in the game, there was someone fumbled something. I don't remember who. They lost the ball. It might have been the Niners. And the whole team was coming over, patting him on the shoulder like, I'm telling you, Gerard, the connected teams mm-hmm. get through bad stuff.
Yep.
So much better than this, even slightly disconnected teams. You really have to be all in.
Yep.
You've got to be rowing, same time, same direction. You really do. And that's leadership is super important for that. Breathe spirit in everyone to stop thinking about me only. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to think about me.
Right.
But it can't be solely about you. And think about us and what we're doing collectively. You play all those games. There's a reason why we play a lot of games, not just for money. You can build that. You don't yes. have that in September for football or August, whatever, or the NBA for that matter, early on.
Yeah, no, it was a wonderful triumph. And, you know, look, we'll see if the Chiefs go back and win next year. You may mention something different about, you know, failure. You always see this failure is baked in the game and you have to deal with it. And just that's yeah. how it is. And if you can't handle failure, then sports ain't the place for you, right? You got to do so. Well, life,
not pro sports.
Life ain't the place for you, right? Because yeah. you're going to fail there too. So, but we talked about it this morning on our call. The Warriors Suns game over the weekend, really good game Saturday night. And it was a Curry game winner. Well, yes, it was, but there was more played after that to happen. It didn't result in a basket for the Suns. But on the play that the Warriors ran for the go-ahead basket, it was a play for Steph. And it was clear that the Suns, the plan was, whatever the action was, we're switching, right? And Draymond came down to put the screen onto KD, because that's who had Curry originally, put some length on him. And on the inbound pass, right? So Draymond's coming over to set the screen on KD. Brad's there. Brad decides to shoot the gap. And we talked about this morning, okay, you know, what did you like about that play? What was wrong, et cetera? And you say you never criticize your players for trying to make a play, right? And that's what Beal was doing, right? He thought he could make a steal. He went for it, didn't obviously get the steal.
I would argue in time and score context, in that particular moment against that player,
you wouldn't have got
it. I would say you got to know you're right 10 out of 10. But did you hear what Beal said after the game about it?
No, what did he say?
Oh, this is super cool, Gerard. I just heard it now, just a few minutes ago. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm not reporting on the mm-hmm. accuracy of the comment. He said that his mask fucks up his peripheral vision.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. I've never worn a mask in that scenario, but I've wore goggles when I swim. Mm-hmm. He said it, and he thinks he would have had the steal. I don't know. Pozmiski? How do you say it? Pozmiski?
Pods. Just call him Pods.
Call him Pods. I should know how to say his last name. He accounted for – he could feel it. This is – we're talking about player having feel. Mm-hmm. He could feel, and I'm telling you, I was my best gift was probably passing my son as well. And I can't tell you the number of times I threw a pass that absolutely, in football and basketball, was going to get picked off. And I certainly had plays. When I'm done with this, I'll tell you, my very first few passes playing varsity were both intercepted for dunks. So I definitely had some mistakes. But I normally would get it there just in the nick of time. Which then gave my player an advantage. My son was the same way. Like, oh my God, Max, hey, great pass. Mm-hmm. Pozmiewski, he just has that feel. And he threw it a little bit wider, mm-hmm. bounce pass. Mm-hmm. You can't teach it. You can't teach that.
Right.
You can drill it all you want, but it's the sense of, oh man. And he threw it perfect. And that allowed Curry to turn to his right,
right.
Which meant left foot first shot. And I just never had a doubt it was going to go in because Beal didn't get the deflection.
Right. And for me, I think as we talked about it this morning, again, I'm not going to criticize Beal for going for the steal. Like, but I think to your point, 10 out of 10, right? Like, it's a regular season game, so who cares? But in a different context, because of who the player is.
Yeah, you can't give Curry a breath.
I'm like, screw that. I'm sticking to you straight up. I don't care. Like, that is my focus. I got to be in your face.
Right. So to be specific, if the ball's on the other side, then what Beal shoots the gap, and now Curry has to turn to his left, so typically right foot first, not always, depending on how he's catching the ball, it's not as easy a shot for most players in that scenario. The way Curry turned was just what he wants. It's just an easy pivot. And again, it just allows him to line it up easier. He's going right. The ball is on his right side over his right eye. There was never a doubt in my mind it was going in. Not again, he's missed those shots, but that just seemed like he was going to knock it down. He's so much better than anyone who's ever played the game in final moment threes. I think the stats are overwhelming. Dame Lillard's like second, yeah. Not even close.
And I mean, it's on the move, generally speaking, right? Like, it's not this like stationary, yeah. Wide open, catch like, and shoot. Right? Right.
Wasn't a zero.
Right. Right.
Because he had a turn as opposed to just catch and shoot. It was a turn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was amazing. The Warriors are playing with a ton of spirit. We'll get to them.
Yep.
And I know we'll get to them. We have a little segment, but it's nice to see. And I read an article about their fallen coach,
yeah.
and really had not appreciated fully what he meant to these guys. But it sounds like he was a super talented coach. And I'm wondering if it isn't helping to galvanize a little bit. When you go through a shared tragedy together, it can help move people in the same direction. Then they have Draymond coming back too. And now Wiggins looks like he's got a pulse again. And here comes Kuminga. I'm not buying it for the long term this year.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't make for a great NBA playoffs to have the Warriors cooking.
Sure, sure. And just to put a bow on that, Steve Kerr, Mike Dunleavy, and some of the front office staff are going to be in Serbia today. So they probably left yesterday. So Kenny Atkinson will be coaching the team tonight against.
And do you know who they're playing tonight?
Jazz.
That's where the heart attack occurred.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive I'm right.
Yes, because that's the game that got postponed. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I think that, I was texting, the agent of a player who was very close to the coach today. I didn't know how close they were. And what a tragedy. Guy's in his 40s. And
yeah,
I read that Clay was shooting. They came to meet with the family the other day and Clay was shooting with his 10-year-old son. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you've said this before on our show. You talked about even last week. You're with each other so much. That includes coaches and their families at home, whatever. And so just an untimely, untimely deaths are terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. One of the things we like to do on this show was ask Coach Thorpe, get into Coach Thorpe's big basketball brain. If you guys want to have your questions answered on air, please send an email to truehoop@truehoop.com. That is TRUEHOOP @truehoop.com. All right, Dave, we have a question from George. He's been watching the Bucks under Doc, and he can't get over the fact that he's watching offensive set from the 1990s. ISOs into picks with very little movement from the three other players. They have virtually no cutting, on or off the ball movement anywhere near the basket. It's one thing in a regular season where you can feast on bad teams with no time to prep because you got, Embiid, whoever. But it doesn't work in the playoffs. What am I missing, is George asking.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Are you asking me why is Doc not a good coach anymore?
So basically he's saying watching the Bucks looks like offensive set from the 1990s. A lot of ISO, one motion into ISO ball. He's like, that's fine in the regular season, but that ain't going to work in the playoffs. Yeah. Is he missing something? Is Doc doing something?
Well, first of all, in the playoffs, it's not necessarily true that we don't see that. We do see a lot in the playoffs. It tends to, because teams know your actions so well anyway. It's why the Cuisinart's so beautiful. Because you still get a chance to run a lot in the postseason. I've not studied the Bucks. They're not good. I'm not watching them right now. I will. I doubt Doc has changed much. He can stress some things. I don't think he's had that much of an impact yet. They're kind of star reliant and play off their stars. There's two options. Play off your stars, play off your system. And they don't really have a system. They have stars. Mm-hmm. So, Harden says, I am the system. He's right. The Clippers have proved it. They're playing off their stars.
Excellent.
Who are great playmakers. They don't have that in Milwaukee. It's just a different roster, a collection of talent. So, yeah, I wouldn't, it's not fair to blame Doc for much now. They're playing better defense, if I remember right, since he's been there. Mm-hmm. Although I've not looked deeply to see if it's more who they're playing.
Right.
But for the Bucks offense wasn't the problem.
No, yeah. They couldn't guard.
Their defense was bad. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see how Doc does with that. I don't think he's the answer. So I've been public about that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens with Milwaukee. You mentioned they're not playing well. 4-6 in their last 10. They're 7 games back of the Celtics. Unlikely they catch them.
They're not catching them.
Look, yeah. The Knicks have some injury issues. Only a game behind them. Injury issues, excuse me. And look, the Cavaliers, 2 games up.
I knew you were going to go to the Cavaliers.
We like them. They're very good. Yeah. So we'll see how that all plays out. David, you wrote an article last Thursday, right in time for the trade deadline, basically saying who won the trade deadline. And I always love when David, it's not even zagging when everybody's zigging. It's just, this man watches a lot of basketball and knows what he's talking about, right? It's just, and oftentimes his opinions may not be what everyone else's opinion is, which I often like that because I'm like, Emmys is probably right. And you said the Mavericks were the trade deadline winners. And if you remember, we did our drafting of NBA title contenders. And I drafted the Mavericks mainly because I was like, look, I've seen Luka drag nobodies to the conference finals by himself. He now has Kyrie Irving, who's playing very well next to him right now. I mean, we talked about stars in the playoffs. Good luck. Stopping people like that is extremely difficult. We've seen it time and time again. And they're playing well right now. They got Daniel Gafford from the Wizards. They made some moves. You said they won the trade deadline. Talk a little bit more about why you like what Dallas did specifically at the trade deadline.
We didn't get to talk about it on the Thursday show, right?
No.
Was the trade afterwards?
After, because the deadline was at like 2 or 3. So
three. So the way I did it was I didn't care about the future. And so it's unfair. I mean, it's absolutely fair for other people to think about that. My thought was Nico Harrison's trying to fight for his job as general manager or the guy who runs the team. They're trying to keep Luka happy. They didn't trade Derek Lively or Omax Prosper, 2 first-round picks that fit very well with what they need to going forward. Lively already is fitting. I think Prosper will be there next year, if not even later this year. I think he's super talented. And he's the ultimate 3 I think they'll need. Mm-hmm. Because they want Luka to think, okay, we're going to be even, got a couple years, we got these guys. Mm-hmm. It's not just about today. It's about the next couple years, too, to keep Luka happy. And so now you bring in, and no one is writing that Gafford starts over Lively. I'm very surprised at that. I could be wrong, but my gut feeling, because I did not do a bunch of study on, other than I've been studying all the time, was that Gafford's the better player than Lively. Quite sure, in my opinion. I don't think it's close. I think Gafford is an unbelievable rim protector. No, he's a very good rim protector. He's an unbelievable rim dunker finisher. And way more experienced than Derek Lively. Mm-hmm. So I think they've given themselves 48 minutes of center. And if they decide someone wants to go small and play those guys off the court, all right, we got PJ Washington, who has played 5, has mm-hmm. experience at 5. And PJ was pretty good for a terrible team. So to me, playing next to Luka and Kyrie, Gafford at the 5, Timmy Hardaway at the 3 probably. Maybe he's their starter for this year for sure. He is. He's good. I think that bodes well for PJ to have his best few months anyway.
Yeah.
And he'll have to grow and get some. He has he has 2 disastrous playing experiences. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he played in those games, but they played poorly.
Terrible.
In the 2 losses. I think they had 1 win and mm-hmm. 2 losses. I just think that they've added 2. They really filled needs and built up, centers. Going into the season, they had Dwight Powell. And going into the draft, they had Dwight Powell at center, Maxi Kleber. Mm-hmm. Those to me are the negatives. Although I love Powell overall, what he's done for his career, it's amazing. Now they have Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, and PJ. Mm-hmm. That's huge wins. I think Nico's going to get votes for Executive of the Year, especially if they roll. And in game 1 against OKC, it's just 1 game. OKC had everyone but Hayward,
right?
Who knows when they'll get him. And they waxed him.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Luka, do you remember, Gerard, Henry told us years ago, how Dame Lillard one of the things he really wanted to play with was a bouncy center. Mm-hmm. I think he also loved Draymond, maybe as a four. He wanted to play for a bouncy center because when you're getting into this, what I call the second box, mm-hmm. and the big is there to help and has to show because right. your floater is so good, you want the option of throwing that really yeah. high lob. And if you, Nurkic couldn't get to that.
Right.
And not to mention, you also want protection on the other side at the rim. He's got 48 minutes of that now.
Yep.
And it's not like PG is not a good athlete if he's right. got to play small ball five. He can get some lobs too. But Gafford and Derek Lively are super bouncy and long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like what they've got. I just don't like their coach.
And I think, David, what people often miss is they know it, but I don't think they know it in the front of their minds. It's the multiplying effect of playing with just better players, right? Like, so you look at Daniel Gafford and PG, and you're like, oh, they played for the Wizards and the Hornets. And it's like, yeah, because look who their teammates are. You know, and it's not, I'm not being disrespectful, but Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma are not Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Their level of basketball IQ and playmaking and genius is the rising tide that lifts all ships, right? Those guys just get better by being on the floor with people like that. Luka can make passes that nobody else on earth can make. That's a plus for Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively II, right? No, he didn't play with anybody like that in his career. And so I think, again, when you look at those kinds of signings, it's not so much who they are, it's who they are X next to, oh, I'm playing with these kinds of people. Oh, well, now all of a sudden it looks so much better.
And those players too, just like you're always lifted when you got a guy like Luka or Kyrie on your team, you're lifted even more when you filled more holes with good players or good players. I had an agent tell me recently he had a player traded from a franchise that's kind of rotting to a franchise that's ascending. And the agent told me he has not seen his player is a great player, All-NBA potential player this year. The agent said he has not seen his client smile that much in years. Mm. The agent did not realize it was as bad as it was, that the culture was just so bad where he was and it's so good where he is now. And man, that matters. That stuff matters. So if you're in Dallas, again, I don't think Jason Kidd's the right. answer. I could be wrong. We'll right. see. But I think their roster is pretty damn good now. I do. And I'm disappointed in Jaden Hardy's lack of progress. I really thought it's only in year two and he's super young. He's an amazing scorer. He just doesn't know how to play still. Mm-hmm. He's not fun to watch at all. But they have a collection of veterans that know yep. what they're doing.
Yep.
And adding these two guys, I mean, talk about two guys. Detroit players have got to be thrilled going to New York. These two dudes from Charlotte, it's the same feeling. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. yeah.
We get to play for this team. And
with that dude?
As a state. Yeah. With that, I mean, as good as Kyrie is, Luka's better.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And a great, he's the best lob passer in the game right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. So, yeah, we'll keep our eye on Dallas. All right, folks, we'll be back after a brief commercial break. Okay, David, because you wrote about each other Mavericks as the trade deadline winners, I kind of wanted to look at, okay, we got about 30 games. By the end of this week, most teams will have about 30 games left, maybe 29 for the rest of the season. So
it's or less.
A sprint yeah. to the finish now, okay? And trades have been made. Some people are getting injured players back or suspended players back. We mentioned Draymond for the Golden State Warriors is back for them. We can't predict who's going to get hurt, but based on what we know now and who is here, I figured it'd be fun to ascertain who, based on what their team has looked like and what their schedule is, can go on a nice, I don't know, 20-10 run the rest of the way or 22-8 and really move themselves up in the playoffs. And I guess conversely, who can go the other way and not look so great? Let's start with the Knicks. They're a team right now that is 33-20. They are 8 games behind Boston. Not going to catch Boston, but 7-3 in their last 10. Now, they got some injury concerns. OG at bone spurs removed from his elbow. He's going to be out at least 3 weeks. We know Julius Randle's out for at least a month, possibly.
Three more weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Three more weeks.
Well, 3 weeks for OG to get evaluated. So we'll see what happens at the 3 week mark. Maybe he's ready. Maybe he's not. I don't know.
Well, one of those weeks is All Star break.
Correct. So that'll help.
Yeah.
And then we don't know about Mitchell Robinson yet. But what do you think about the Knicks? Is it danger time for them? Or do you think Jalen Brunson can help them hold on as best they can?
So a couple of thoughts. Not having their schedule, this is for all the teams. The only team I know of we'll get to what their schedule looks like, just so I heard someone talk about it. Mm-hmm. But that to me is the biggest thing. If you're, you know, if you're playing in 1 4-game week stretch, three opponents who are, you know, top four seeds, you're unlikely to win all the games that week, or even maybe even half. You're lucky. If you're not, then you're really lucky, especially as you get closer to tank season, which is basically now, and then after the All-Star break, it even enhances. But those guys missing are a big deal. Adding Bogdanovich and Burks, without question, helps. Burks was really good when they needed him against Indiana. They didn't have nearly enough, but he was good. And so that will help. That schedule matters. Getting OG, I think, super important. So the reality is they probably are going to struggle some. And if they can win half their games, that's amazing. But there's a real chance to get to the 2 or 3 spot, which is what you want to avoid Boston at 1.
Yep.
And I don't know that they can, but depending on their schedule, because of those injuries.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule now. David, the next 15 games, Houston, Orlando, Philly, Boston, Detroit, New Orleans, Golden State, Cleveland, Atlanta, Orlando, Philly, Portland, Sacramento, Golden State. So in that mix in there, Detroit, possibly.
I heard like 9 tough games.
Yes. It's going to be possibly Atlanta. Houston, maybe. I mean, I'm looking at who they can.
Houston and Atlanta are not pushovers.
Correct. Portland is the only pushover game I see in there right now. And that's over the next 15. So
now, and Detroit, although Detroit's playing a little better right now, and the pressure of having to beat Detroit because they're the worst team.
Right.
But yeah, though, that's a tough schedule. That is not easy. Yeah, that is not easy.
So look out.
But I will tell you this, come playoff time, if everyone but Mitchell, if Mitchell's back, it's a whole other level of toxicity for the opponent. But without Mitchell, I still think they can be very good because of what Jalen can do, how tough they play. And in round one, especially, where you got rest between games because they play so freaking hard.
They do.
They're not a fun team to play. I guarantee you. Well, we'll see. Boston does want to, Boston's better than everyone, but there's certain teams they don't match up as well. The toughness of the Knicks and Brunson's scoring ability, even against Drew and Derek, could be pretty significant.
The Lakers, I guess the big conversation everybody was having was, oh, they didn't make any moves at the trade deadline. I'm like, well, because they had no moves to make, probably, right? Deals. I'm sure they tried to do things, but you need someone else to dance with you in a trade. And clearly nobody's willing to bite on whatever they are moving. The roster you've always liked from the beginning. D'Angelo Russell is playing really well offensively. Austin Reeves is starting to turn himself around. We know about LeBron and AD. I mean, your issue is their coach, obviously. But do you think that is their limiting factor right now, is just the coach?
I do. We saw them do well in the postseason last year. I do think the Lakers have a fighting chance. I don't think they're great. LeBron's shooting well. AD can be the best player in the league at certain nights. D'Lo's pick and roll game and overall offensive talent. Hachimura's shooting pretty well, as a role player. Austin Reeves needs to really step up. I think Vanderbilt's out for a while, and that's going to affect them defensively some. But with AD, right away, you can't be a bad defensive team. I just think there's nothing special going on. I think Darvin's he's not ready yet to help it to be anything more than average. I'm not saying he's the worst. He's not the worst.
Right.
But he's not special yet. It takes a while. It takes a long time.
Indiana, we love their move of getting, obviously, Pascal Siakam. We love what Halliburton's doing, Nemhard. Like, that's just a team that is just ascending as a franchise. They're right now in sixth place, 11 games back again. They're not going to catch Boston. Can they stay in that top six, especially now with Philly just above them, reeling because they have no Embiid? And it's going to be tough for Philly. Halliburton's now starting to play a little bit better. So I think he's starting to get himself back into
his best game. He had his best game against the Knicks in New York on Saturday night. Everyone's going to talk about the pass off the board to Siakam for 3. It was a great play. But he was big for them in the second half when they were kind of holding on to a big lead. They are the ones I heard have the third easiest schedule in February. I've not looked. They play Charlotte tonight, I want to say. Then they play at Toronto in the Siakam homecoming game. Toronto obviously is not a good team. So those are two very winnable games for Indiana. It's interesting. They're a team we're going to have to pay attention to see if they're willing to fight to get to the 4 or 5 seed. Because 4 or 5 seed means you play the other 4 or 5.
Yep.
And then you got Boston.
Yeah.
If you stay at 6, then you get to start with 3, which, hey, Boston, that's all that really matters. Not Boston.
Right.
Right. And it probably isn't going to be Cleveland. So it could be a New York team that's missing Mitchell Robinson. It could be Milwaukee, who's got their own flaws defensively.
Yep.
We'll have to see. Rick Carlisle's not the type of guy I think they want to have gamesmanship. He's normally all about winning.
Right.
I do think that's – I think they're a really interesting team. They're very deep. T.J. McConnell's playing very well lately. They've got – they've kind of answered what their defensive problems. I think they're – maybe in 2024, they might be 16th in defense. We could look it up.
Yeah.
They're basically starting Nembhard at the two, and he's shooting – well, if not very well. Siakam's shooting well, if not very well, for a while now. With Tyrese, Miles Turner and Nesmith both, I think, are a little thirsty sometimes offensively. You need to have them in them for defensive purposes alone. But Jalen Smith has been out some, and he's been a great shooter for them. He's got – something's wrong with him. Doug McDermott replaces Buddy, probably more of a team guy. Buddy was a little bit selfish, I thought, and probably asked to go out, is my guess, as he basically said, please trade me. So they did. And to Philly, good luck with that. But I think they have to go through some learning pain, growing pains. I think I do not think they're a cohesive unit. I've watched them play a few times now. They're still trying to figure stuff out, but they've got 30 games or so to do it. Mm-hmm. Tyrese showing the Halliburton we knew finally after the hamstring injury for this first time against New York. That comes around. He's such a game changer offensively.
Huge.
And then Siakam being such a perfect fit for everything that they need. You know, Carlisle's experience. Yeah, I think if February is as weak as what people have told me, and I haven't looked, I will.
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, they could get to 4 or 5 considering the free fall of potentially Milwaukee. You just got to win and Philly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're looking
and at New York with all the guys being out.
Correct. If you look at the top 10, the next 10 games for Indiana. So they have Charlotte, Toronto, Detroit, Dallas, Toronto, the Pelicans twice, the Spurs, Dallas, Minnesota. So that's not an
8 easy games.
Right. Like you got, you know, Charlotte, of course, the Toronto games, Detroit, you know, those are games that are in San Antonio. But those two New Orleans games not going to be easy. Mavericks game won't be easy. You know, Minnesota won't be easy. So we'll see how they.
No, they definitely, it's not all cupcakes. Not all cupcakes for sure. Maybe it was 7 easier games, but. Yeah, also, listen, it's good sometimes playing as those teams. You got to see where you stand up.
Exactly.
You measure. So, everyone's chasing Boston over there.
Right.
And Cleveland. And Cleveland, right? Cleveland's what, 15 of 16?
Oh, yeah. They are on fire right now. Like, I mean, 9 straight, hottest team in the league. They are 35 and 16, only 5 behind Boston. Just looking like I'm loving it.
Do you think they can catch Boston?
I don't. Unless Boston just has a brain meltdown and just, you know, shits the bed and starts losing games. But no, I don't think so. I think Boston's too good. But
it'd be interesting if they can cut it to if I was coaching Cleveland, listen, you just want to try to win every game that you play. But I would be telling them, listen, we might fuck up and be 3 games back and 2.5 games back
from then play.
And now Boston's got some pressure. Mm-hmm. They want to be a 1 seed for sure. You want to make them feel it. It's like anything you do. I used to tell teams luckily in my career, I wasn't down 20 often, but when I was younger, I definitely was some. And I used to always tell the teams, we just got to cut it to 10. Mm-hmm. We just got to cut it to 10. Then they'll feel us because they'll feel the pressure of the moment. Mm-hmm. And and we already did it a couple of times. We came back down 20 or more. I think maybe twice when I was young, you know, like 22, 23. But my players still remember those games. Mm-hmm. They're all in their mid 50s now. Mm-hmm. I was only 6 years older than them. Yeah, you just got to make them feel you.
Right.
So I'm Cleveland. Just let's keep doing what we're doing. Can't worry about Boston. But at some point, they're going to start thinking, that's not a Mitchell.
We thought we put those guys away already. Why are they still here?
Fuck, yeah. I don't want them to go to Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals the first 2 games.
Correct.
Like, they feel like it's their seed. Now you got to earn it. Yeah, you got to put pressure on them. I will say, watching Boston play recently, I was watching Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in their last game they played.
Miami on Sunday?
Against Miami yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched it. I watched part of it, a lot of it at the end. People love to criticize that duo, whatever. Right. I sensed calmness there. I did. I sensed calmness. Like they know each other. And, you know, Miami did nothing other than adding Rozier, which is not nothing.
Right.
They didn't really move anything of value. As it turns out, Lowry wasn't doing that much. But, I know Miami is thinking we're going to win with this core. That's one of our strengths. I know Eric Spoelstra was saying we have done this in the postseason to some degree because we know who we are.
Right.
We know everything about each other on the court, off the court, at restaurants, whatever. We have a sense of who each other are. each other is. And I think there's value to that.
For sure.
And I think Boston has that too.
Of course. Right?
They've created that now with Derek and Drew there all season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they weren't there last year, but no huge things. I just feel like, adding Tillman just gives them a little depth in the, for 10, 15 minutes a game maximum. Mm-hmm. Maximum. Yeah, I think that Tatum and Brown, though, have just been through some wars.
And that's the thing. That collective experience that duo has together and the hurt that they've gone through as a duo, for sure. We talked about that connectedness, right? It's there. That group has been playing together, those two, for a while now. The Warriors, David, have finally gotten themselves to 500. They're 25-25. They're on the 10th spot now. So in the play-in, we mentioned Draymond's back for them. And wow, what a surprise. When Draymond gets back on the floor, Wiggins and Kuminga can be on the floor at the same time because Draymond's that connective tissue that makes, for lack of a better term, everything else okay. Right. And of course, his game play with Steph is just brilliant. And they're closing games, David, if you noticed, with Klay on the bench and Pods and different players like that instead of Klay. I agree with you. I don't think that they're going to be any championship contender. But this is a team that, if they somehow work their way into the top six and they're a playoff team. Right. That's because of their experience. That's the old cliche. Oh, that's a team you don't want to see in the playoffs because of their experience.
I mean, Miami did it twice now as a play-in, getting to, as a lowest seed getting into the finals. You would think if a team could do that in the West, Golden State would be that team. Same kind of thing. Core has been together a long time, adding, sprinkling some new guys. We've been very public about, if Curry wants to be traded, I always started with Curry has to make his own decisions. If he wants to be traded, I wish they would accommodate him. I don't think I think he's capable enough of being the best player on a championship team. I don't think this is a championship team.
Correct.
That being said, because of what they've done, they deserve a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean it would have been unwise to do what I suggested, to trade everyone you could and build around Kuminga. And now you have Pods and Moody and whatever. I like the kid from Indiana too. Mm-hmm. The second round pick they have a lot for the future. What Curry is doing, what Draymond's doing. Wiggins is, I looked it up. Wiggins has had, I think he's had 11 positive games, if you look at EPM chart, all season. Mm-hmm. But like six have been the last few weeks.
Yep.
He's, whatever the number is, he's really coming on. And he doesn't have to be an all-star. He has to be good, not terrible. And again, I still think they're going to run out of gas. And depending on Pods in the postseason, seems a little bit much.
I agree.
Well, normally guards, rookie guards especially, in starting roles as opposed to coming off the bench like Christian Brown last year, who only played well in the finals. Mm-hmm. You see Nurk said, it's just a matter of time before Draymond loses his cool again. He hasn't yet. He hasn't yet. He hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's close. So we'll have to see. Listen, I think as fans, we're not as fans, as media people. We would love Golden State to be interesting come April.
Sure.
Be great. Be great.
You mentioned the Cavs. 9 of the last 10, 15 to 16. Nine in a row, excuse me. Look, I love what this Cavaliers team is doing. They're getting their guys are back now from being injured. Garland, et cetera. Look, we talked about it last year, were the 4 seed last year and lost to the Knicks, right? So by seed breakdown, they lost to the inferior team. Now, you can argue the Knicks were better or whatever, but based on record, the Cavs were better last year and likely should have won that series. And that taught them a lot. I think Donovan you've sung Donovan's praises. Oh, I mean, he's just an electric, incredible player. What I love is you highlighting him as a leader, which, not that I didn't think he was one, I just didn't see it. But now I'm like, oh, no, it's there. Look, this team for sure, they got to be thinking, if we're a 2 seed, we for sure are going to win a round and we might mess around and get to the conference finals.
I agree with that. One of the things I loved about Donovan is there have been times in my career where there's been a player who is incredibly talented and kind of disrespected some of his own teammates when they were just good because they're just peons compared to him. We've seen those guys.
Of course.
I don't feel like that was ever Donovan. I always felt like there were no scrubs on his team. There were screeners. There were ball movers. There were energy guys. There were IQ guys. Great shooters, purely great shooters only. And I feel like he always just respected them. I really like his approach. And no one's perfect. And we're seeing, I mean, is he first team All-NBA as guard?
Close. It means he's got to be right up there. Yeah.
I mean, if we did it today, would it be?
See, let me look right Luka, now. Luka and Shea Donovan, right now. Luka and Shea first Shea team.
Is my 1, 2, 3.
And then Donovan, Tyrese. Well, you know, Tyrese plays enough games, but Donovan's right there. Like, you know, next two.
I'd have Donovan above Halliburton, and I mean, Steph is in the mix also. But his team is, you know, now just 500.
And you got Brunson, right? So I mean,
Brunson, yeah,
and for Booker. Sure. Booker's played well this year.
Yep, I would have Donovan above all those guys. I don't know where they are EPM. I understand. I would have him first team right now.
By EPM, it'd be Shea and Luka first team, and then Donovan and Tyrese.
Shea could be the three. Shea could be the three.
I know, but I think they have him. Probably, I think they have him as a guard, though.
I don't think it. I don't think they do positions anymore.
Are we doing straightly just the five best? Is that?
I think so.
Oh, if they went to that, then good. Hallelujah.
Listen, I'm the dumbest guy in the world. I don't really care about awards typically. Other than to just get an idea of who's the most dominant players are. Without Embiid, Jokic is going to be in there, whether they do positions or not.
Yep.
And then, yeah, I would have, I mean, that's a hell of a threesome. Luka, Donovan, and Shea.
Good luck stopping that group.
Yeah, we need to look in that and see how they do it. For some reason, some agent told me that it was just 15 players now.
Miami, David, you mentioned the Rozier deal, which, you know, we liked, but we didn't think it was much of a needle mover for them. Do you think they're resting a little bit too much on the, we know we can get into the plane, and once we're there, nobody wants to see us?
I don't think they're resting on that. As you put it, I think they are relying on that experience that they have a little too much. I would tell you, I don't think Spo was happy. He was really pissed yesterday and they lost the game.
Yeah.
He is an intense guy. Jimmy Butler, now he's got, I don't know who died, but someone died in his family. Horrible. And he had been playing better. Mm-hmm. You know, Bam.
Shooting the three. I was like, oh, look at Jimmy.
You're right. Hero has played well yesterday, scored a bunch of points late, was not enough. I thought they needed to address point guard, and I would have gone after Tyus Jones if Minnesota didn't get him, and they didn't. And they just couldn't do it, or they didn't want to do it. But I think it's going to cost them. I don't fear them this year like I have in years past.
I agree. I'm with you there. The Suns playing well. The three guys are there. They're fifth, number five in the East. I think they can stay in that top five.
In the West?
Yeah, I really do. I those three dudes playing, I mean, whatever. They lost that game against Golden State. Not saying Durant didn't shoot well.
On the road, yeah.
On the road. But, and it took a miracle three, right? A late game three to win it. I just think that that top five they have is very good. And with Gordon come off the bench, and I think I like the Royce O'Neal pickup. Like, they should be able to stay in that range. And who knows what happens above them, right? Somebody gets hurt, who knows? And, you know, they can move up.
Royce will give them depth, mm-hmm. which is important.
For sure. They need it.
Beal, I've been a little disappointed. I thought Beal was kind of moving the right direction. I think he's kind of leveled off. It's just not the player he was. It doesn't help that he had a broken nose or whatever. I saw that when he got hit there, I saw it. I don't remember what day it was, but I saw it.
It was the first game it broke. And by the way, it's gotten hit three times in games since then. And so, like, he's like, okay, during the All-Star break, I got to, like, not get it reset or whatever, and then the off season because he doesn't want to miss any more games and, you know, mess up the year. But I can't imagine it's very fun playing with a broken nose when these big behemoth men are swinging their arms at you.
It's a nightmare, and he's little in the NBA world.
Yes.
And I remember I had a 6'6", 6'7", 300-pound stud who went to, you know, was a great player and then became a very good pro in Europe. Great college player. I led the SEC in scoring one year. That's how good he was. And then the next year, so he was a sophomore, I had like a 6'3 freshman who ended up being a professional baseball player, but he was very good at basketball. And I had to warn him on day one because our JV and varsity practice. When I took the job when I was 22, I said, the only rule I have is you got to let my guys practice your guy. If you want me to build your future, mm-hmm. I said this to the varsity coach, then you got to let me practice with you every day. And he said, oh, fantastic. You know, we'll do it together. And so I had to tell my ninth grade kid, his name is Brendan Hervey, I said, you got to be really careful inside because Dimitri's going to pivot naturally and his elbow is going to be right at your head and he could break your head. I'd never coached a player that big before, that big, you know, 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I think about it all the time. These players just, they get hit in the head all the time.
All the time.
Basketball is not easy.
No.
And Bradley Beal, being 6'5", mm-hmm. is right at that head level for the 6'8 dudes he plays all the time. And I saw I forget what happened when he hit the nose, but it was bad.
Yeah.
He was bloodied, very mm-hmm. bloodied. it's like you got to be tough to play basketball at high level.
No doubt. And so I think they're going to reset it during the All-Star break. He'll get a little time to sort of like calm that down.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And then because he doesn't
fun times.
He doesn't want to miss any games because they're, you know, they finally got everybody together and their continuity. We talked about that at the top, right? You need time to play together to build that continuity up. Last team, I'm a little worried about them. We talked about them on our call. Our editor, Travis Moran, brought it up. The Kings, De'Aaron Fox not playing well right now. And it could just be he's tired. We mentioned that he only went to the free throw line 7 times over the last 3 games. I mean, De'Aaron Fox should be the line 30 times in 3 games, right? Because of
something.
Because you can't stay in front of him. But this is the stage now where these guys are literally on empty and they need a rest. And I think luckily for him, he is not an All-Star this year. I know he's disappointed about that himself, but that means time to rest and recoup and maybe, you know, see what's happened the second half of this season here.
Yeah, I was looking at his charts. God, he almost never had a bad game the first 2.5 months of the season. And since pretty much the new year, he's got plenty of bad games, you know, negative games.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, rest is going to help him a ton, for sure. I like – I'm a Mike Brown fan, much more so than I used to be, because he's gotten much better.
Mm-hmm.
And as has Bickerstaff. He was terrible when he was at Houston. Terrible. He's not terrible now. No, in fact,
they're excellent.
I've been saying Jamal Mosley is my coach of the year. I still feel that way. But if you get – and Degno probably wins it from OKC. I don't know who won it last year.
Because JB didn't – I mean, JB should be – wait, I'm sure he didn't win it that last year, did he? No, he didn't win it last year.
No, and I don't think Degno did either. But he might win it this year. But that's Jamal Mosley and Bickerstaff and Degno. Yeah, I think they've been. I probably
give. I mean, if the Cavs finish two or three games, I mean, how do you say no to that guy?
Right, it's really something to go from out of it to 4 to 2, like ascending. You're doing a hell of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just know who they are, they have this dynamic leader.
Yep,
and they've added shooting, Strus and Yang. Mm-hmm.
Toughness.
They're well run.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Toughness, I said. They also had toughness with those guys.
Tough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those guys are both tough as hell. Yeah, right. Yeah, there is an executive year possible right there, too.
Ooh, Kobe Altman. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, Kobe bringing some guys he brought in. Every team that makes the playoffs, you don't want to play them in a sense. They're all going to do something good. Minnesota, for all their flaws, can really guard.
Yes, they can. Know?
But, just the Donovan Mitchell dynamic alone, you know, I just can't forget what he did against Denver. He lost the series, but he was magnificent. Oh,
I mean, him and Murray were
it
just
has been
like
ever since his rookie year. I remember his rookie season. I want to say they played OKC that had Paul George and Carmelo on the same team. And Donovan was a rookie and was the best player on the court. Like, he was a rookie. It's just amazing. He's an
exceptional player.
Yeah, they're a team they're really locking on.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to conclude here, David. We're going to have a piece coming out about him, I believe, this week. And it's Jalen Brunson of the New York Knicks. And man, look, again, living here in the city, Knicks fans love this dude, as they should. All-star. We just said that he's probably going to make an All-NBA team, probably All-NBA 13 the way it looks right now. He is outstanding. He's a little guy. I mean, 6 foot being generous. He's probably 5'11". But man, he's like a fire hydrant. Good luck moving that guy out of the way.
And he can't jump.
Right, he can't. Well,
can't jump.
Neither can a fire hydrant. Right? So he's just, you know. But man, and we talked about it on the call this morning, David. He is being officiated like an all-star. I mean, he's getting all the foul calls. So when he's shooting the way he's shooting, he's so crafty. He's so strong. He can score in the first and second box.
He's playing for the foul, just like Harden did. He's playing to get the foul. I mean, the rules are the rules. No, he's super smart about all of it. He's in terms of talent, off the charts, because he doesn't have other than the fire hydrant part of it, which does have some advantages. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like the NBA stars that we tend to see, but he is. I don't want to give too much away because I still have to write it. Mm-hmm. But I watched him this weekend. I watched him last week a couple times. His talent is off the charts. It's not a surprise he's won 2 championships. And I was saying to you guys this morning, Corey Brewer was a 6'9", world's fastest man, McDonald's All-American. Al Horford was a 6'11", brilliant passer, a ball handler.
Joakim
Noah, 7 foot, brilliant passer, ball handler.
Makes sense.
No surprise they won back-to-back championships.
Mm-hmm.
Brunson is nothing like that and won 2 also. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it was 2 and three or two in 4 years. The fact that he won two periods, amazing. So, and Hart wasn't on both teams, I think. Just one.
Right.
So, yeah, he's the prototype I use to teach a lot of young players now, Jalen Brunson, because most guys don't look like Shea and Luka.
Yeah.
You know, you don't look like those guys.
Right.
Kyrie's a great example, too, if he just was a little bit more steady, because what he's done with his athletic gifts are fine. They're not off the charts.
No.
His talent and skill with the ball are off the charts.
His Brunson's ability to finish.
Look for that before we shut it down. I'll get that out, and then I'm ghosting you guys for a week.
Well, you might send us a text of like, look, the Spear is so cool. Look at Botto. I got a good video of him. We might get a text like that, but no basketball text. That's for sure. No, this is great. I'm looking forward to the Brunson article. And David, he's such a, and I'm using air quotes, he's such a New York Knicks kind of player too. He's just incredibly tough and just
I'm gonna push back on that.
No, but no, people that's how they feel.
No, I hear you, I hear you. I know New Yorkers like to act like they're gritty, and I get all of that, I totally do. And it's my favorite city in the world, so I'm not criticizing anything. I'm just saying, if he was 6'8" jumping out of the gym,
they like him probably just as well, too.
Right. Listen, ask any New Yorker about Kenny Skywalker.
Right. Yes.
All right. Yeah. I watched him in college, Kenny Skywalker. He couldn't shoot from outside 11 inches, but he could really jump. That's why they call him Sky. They still talk about him in New York. All right. So, but yes, no, he really can galvanize not just a fan base, but a team, because he's just so tough. He's just so relentlessly tough and smart. You know, these guys have brilliant brain processes. Kyle Lowry, brilliant brain processes, and that fire hydrant body makes for a good combination. I'd be looking for guys like that in college, guys that win a bunch of games, that are look like that, and find ways to win all the time. There's a talent there that can be carried the next
And the last piece that you didn't mention, but it's like your son, Max Thorpe, son of a coach, right? I feel like that is also...
A player, too.
Right?
Rick was a great player.
I don't know how to quantify that, but I know that matters somehow. How? I don't know, but I know it just does. Not for everybody, but most times I'm like, oh, your dad was a coach? Yeah, you're pretty good.
Yeah, you've just been around the game a long time, and you kind of, you know, my son can be a... He's been with NBA players since he was, 10 or 5 or whatever. And he's just not intimidated by him. He can just be himself. They're just people like anything else. That's, to wrap it up back to football, watching Taylor Swift last night in the box. Mm-hmm. None of those people cared that she was in the box with her.
Right.
They were watching the game, and she was just a regular person like anyone else, piling on after touchdowns, whatever. This is what people do. They're all just people. But also the IQ part of it for Jalen. Mm-hmm. Rick played for a great coach in John Channing, one of my all-time favorite coaches. Was a great player himself. I remember him when he was a high school kid. And it's just in his blood. It's just a really, really, he's really a gifted player.
He is.
And across the boards. But he's worked super hard to get there. And he just has that swagger that team needs, especially now.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to keep them afloat.
For sure. And my God, what a 4 years, 100 mil? I mean, now it looks like a fucking steal. You're like, woo! I mean, right? It's incredible.
Yeah, can't hold out. Can't hold out like he once could in the past. But
his
next deal is going to be pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, guys.
What year is he? Second year of it?
Yeah, year two. This is year two.
Amazing.
We will see. Not David. He will be away. But Henry and I will see you on Thursday. That'll be the last regular season night before the All-Star break. And we'll figure out some sort of like fun, different episodes to do over the break, because let's be honest, we ain't talking about the All-Star game on Monday's show. That's for sure. All right, guys. Take care.